The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking To You, originally recorded and broadcast on Friday, February the 21st, 2025, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled The Last Will and Testament of Mark E. Smith. And the time is 7:48 a.m. here in London, making it what? 2:48 on the east coast of America, and still Thursday, February the 20th at 12 minutes to midnight on the west coast of America. So welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so now let's move on to what I've downloaded this morning to listen to throughout the day. I've got three things for you here. First up, the third hour of the Jeff Rentz program from yesterday. What does Trump have in common with Uncle Joe Stalin? This is the monthly appearance of my friend Misha Popoff. Always entertaining hour. You never know where it's going to go. And that's why I never miss Misha when he is off on with Jeff Rentz. So that is probably behind the paywall. You might get lucky. Go to rentz.com, scroll down, see if it's there. Otherwise, I recommend you get a Rentz subscription. And you can get that at rentzradio.com. Then something from Paul English that you get every week is Paul English Live, which you can find at paulenglishlive.com. And there's a variety of different platforms the show is broadcast on. I choose to download it from a podcast something or other. I forget what, but you'll see the logo there. You can click on to do that. And then I just get the MP3. There is no video. So even though it's on video platforms, it's only an audio show. So unless you particularly like a certain platform that you listen to on it, then the podcast thing for me is always the best to go for. And finally, Siege the Day with my friend Dave Gahari. I've chatted to him a couple of times this week. It'd be interesting to see what his show with James Mason I quite like. There are a couple of old hands in this. Don't agree with everything they come up with, but who do I agree with everything they come up with? I even change my own mind over time. And it's all about whether something engages and entertains you as you listen to it, as far as I'm concerned. I think many people feel they've pretty much made their decisions as to what's really going on in the world. They've got their opinion. They might change a little here and there, but the fundamental message, if you've been involved in this for any length of time, you probably know where you stand. And so it's very unlikely somebody is going to suddenly come along and completely flip you 180 degrees to a completely different way of thinking. That's where I am anyway. Okay, so let's see how the news has been developing since yesterday's show even. These are all Daily Mail headlines, surprise, surprise, and I have got a load of them for you. I think there's 15 or something like that. This show is governed by the quality of the source material I find, and then hopefully I can present it to you in an entertaining and maybe amusing manner. I'll give it my best shot. But the first one is from which we derive today's show title headline. The Fall frontman Mark E. Smith left all former wives and final soulmate girlfriend out of his will, leaving the entire 500k estate to his sisters, mum, and a neighbour. Okay, so he died, I believe, at the age of 60. Let's scroll down, see what the information is there. Well, his total estate was valued at £484,449 after debts, expenses and funeral costs had been covered. Over half of this figure came from the sale of his Prestwich home. And when we scroll down, we find that he decided that the proceeds of the sale of that home were to go to his three sisters, and then the remainder of his estate was to be divided between his mother Irene and a neighbour in his hometown of Prestwich, Nicola McGowan. And I sort of thought about that because, well, firstly, it's a good job that he didn't leave the balance to his former members of the Fall, because after probate costs, they'd probably got about a tenner each. Marky Smith was challenged on the amount of hiring and firing he did with his band The Fall, and famously responded to an interviewer, "Listen, if you've got me and your granny on bongo drums, you've got The Fall." But when I saw that the remainder of his estate, which was, what, a couple of hundred thousand, after the house sale, to be divided between his mother Irene and a neighbour. Well, what made me think is, with my mother's house recently, I had to change the insurance. I thought I was covered by staying there once a week, stuff like that. But it's insured as a main residence. So I had to change insurers when I phoned up to, you know, question something on the policy. Now, The Fall toured a lot. And so I imagine, and I could be completely wrong, but if you had a friendly neighbour with insurance and stuff like that, they'd have to go into the house. Certainly, if you're away for any length of time. I know my parents, once they went away on a holiday, and the insurance that they had then, someone had to be in at least every 2 weeks. I think the one that we had went to every week, which is why I was doing that. If you're on tour for months at a time, you're going to need a friendly person you can trust to do that. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is why that neighbour was given that portion of the will. But you know what, I'm speculating, but speculation can be fun, and I think I've given very good reasons as to why I could be right. Okay, next up, asylum seeker declared a child by UK judges despite a previous finding that he was 23 with a receding hairline and thick facial hair. As we scroll down on the article, I quote, "Among the judges who manage the tribunal is Hugo Norton Taylor, who previously permitted a Palestinian family of six the right to come to Britain after they applied through a refugee scheme designed for Ukrainians." So, big no-no there. Next, we move on to jailing an asylum seeker, 39, who sexually assaulted a teenager after driving around looking for vulnerable drunk women, could breach his human rights, court hears. Speaks for itself, but again, it's this flavour we're seeing this year about turning popular opinion more against asylum seekers, people of colour generally. And I just say this, let's look at what's happening on the geopolitical scale, is that right, later in the year. And we know that Miriam Adelson gave Trump $100 million for his campaign on the condition that he recognised the West Bank as being part of Israel. We know what they've done to Gaza, and we know how much they don't like any of these protests against what they were doing in Gaza. So I just have a feeling that they're trying to, in before here, if you like, to turn people against people of colour who will be, who they believe are going to be many of the people on any sort of Gaza-type protests that we've seen. But of course, there are many white people who go on those protests too, and there you have it. So that is my opinion as to why they're doing that. But I hope that I'm wrong, because I don't want to see conflict all over the world. Isn't it time we could have a bit of peace? Okay, alert over record highs of lethal norovirus that surged 40% in a month. This is quite personal to me. As you know, I see Amanda. We go out for a day on a Saturday, generally. We go somewhere. And then I see her briefly on a Tuesday for lunch. I haven't seen her the last two Saturdays. I was supposed to. But a couple of Saturdays ago, just before, she got norovirus. Had to stay away. And then she got better. And I saw her on the Tuesday. And then she got it again. So I couldn't see her last Saturday either. Now she reckons that she's over it. She's back at work and what have you. So hopefully that will be the case. And I will be seeing her tomorrow. But I have had norovirus on a cruise ship. It is not much fun. You have to isolate. And you can't eat anything dairy, I think it was. And you'd be amazed at the amount of things with dairy in. So I was basically offered something like a chicken breast or a baked potato. But I'd have to season it with just salt and pepper. Because all these different sauces, stuff like that, generally have got some sort of dairy stuff in. Or there might have even been something else. But I remember it was a very boring diet I was stuck on. And I was pleased to get over that. And, yeah, so let's move on to animal rights campaigner wins ruling allowing him near a facility where dogs are bred for medical research. I wonder if that's going to have any impact on the abortion thing that JD Vance was talking about. Oh, maybe not. Next, pensioner 74 becomes the first person to be charged in Scotland under new abortion buffer zone law. Yes, there you go. Okay, so next we have how much Delta is offering to pay each passenger on Horror Toronto flight that crashed and flipped on landing. Of course, covered that on yesterday's show. And essentially, they're offering each of the passengers $30,000 as a gesture of goodwill. And that's going to take them to a total of $2.3 million if all 76 passengers agree to take the cash. And they've also said that it's not going to affect any, it's no strings attached, it says, and does not impact rights. So presumably they can still sue for negligence and stuff like that. But that is the latest on that crash. And I've already heard that there are some people that saying that didn't really happen, all this sort of stuff. And, well, it looked real to me. But as Jim Rizzoli said on yesterday's show, they can CGI anything these days. Although I don't know what the purpose of doing this would be, unless of course it's to put people off air travel, which we have seen them doing in many other ways. But there you go. Next, exclusive top female rugby league pundit who works for the BBC, Channel 4 and Sky Sports is accused of sexually assaulting a woman at a sports club. Imagine my shock. Then we have Stranger Things star Matthew Modine says a lot of his female co-stars could be cancelled for inappropriate behaviour, but men don't speak up out of fear of ridicule. Very interesting one there. And then we have this year's submission for the Daily Mail's Pulitzer Prize. And that is revealed. The randiest place in Britain where residents have sex 15 times a month. Next, intriguing reason behind mysterious epidemic of strokes in young, healthy people scientists discover. Oh, are they going to finally talk about the vaccine? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? First line. Scientists have uncovered that smoking could be behind a spate of devastating strokes among young, otherwise healthy men. Again, the common denominator ignored, and excuse after excuse for this increase in health conditions that we've never witnessed ever since a vaccine was rolled out. It's just amazing how deep the corruption grows. But if you look at the next one, it gets worse. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, I used to give the government figures from the gov.uk website of the amount of people that were reported to have been harmed or killed after taking the vaccine. Now, I can remember off the top of my head, it was just over 2,000 people have been reported to have died after taking it, and nearly 500,000, I think it was something like 474,000, something like that, had reported being injured after taking it. Get this headline now. Before I do the headline, these figures were taken down by the government in December of 2023, I believe. Okay? Now, listen to this headline. Revealed. No, exclusive. Exclusive. revealed. 17,000 Brits claim they were injured or a relative was killed by COVID jabs amid discovery of mysterious vaccine-related condition. Well, that's nowhere near the 470-odd thousand that reported that they had been injured by the COVID jab. But now that these official figures have gone, I guess you can put other figures in, can't you? And this is the first line. More than 17,000 Brits now claim they have been injured or have lost or have had loved ones killed by a COVID jab, according to the latest government data. Ooh, so presumably those 470,000 people who reported being injured afterwards have changed their minds. And I suppose you could have included the 2,000 odd people who were reported to have died after taking the vaccine in the 17,000 figure. So I'm not going to talk about that one. But again, it's just amazing, isn't it, how data can be twisted and how they hide data and then, you know, let it go for a while. Everyone's forgotten about it. Oh, we'll come up with different figures. Well, think about it. If they have cause to release another vaccine later in the year, how many people do you think took the vaccine in this country? I'd say millions. I'd say probably the majority. What do you think 17,000 people would be percentage-wise in relation to millions of people? Well, obviously, it's going to be a fraction of 1%. Okay? So they'll be ready to say, look, we freely admit that injuries and deaths can be caused by vaccines, but they're so rare. They're so rare, it's less than 1%. And on top of that, this new thing that's come out, it could do this, that, and the other to you. It's, oh, it's so much worse than COVID. Oh, it could do all these horrible things to you. Do you really, 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 really want to take the chance with that when you could take a vaccine when less than 1%, a fraction of 1% have ever had any problem with a vaccine? That's, again, where I see this going. That is why I haven't had my hair cut for years, because I don't want to be trying to do it again after another lockdown. And it's only been in recent months, and it's finally got long enough to sort of settle down by itself. I much prefer it shorter, much easier to manage and stuff like that. But I can actually now tie it back, which is good. And as a result, it keeps most of it out of my eyes and stuff like that. Okay, let's move on to Royal... Oh, it's another exclusive. Royal College of Nursing is accused of abandoning its female members after union bosses refused to help nurse accused of misgendering transgender doctor. You see, I mean, I can't understand why people are surprised about this, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you think about the fathers of unions, people like the Toll Puddle Martyrs. You know, that march wasn't in vain. They must be absolutely delighted that unions now are prioritising misgendering transgender doctors rather than protecting their own members. Yes, that must be it, mustn't it? Okay, let's... And again, on that note, you see, the way that this was done, it's very clever. They wanted to get all this wokery in. And who's a bigger majority in the country? The people at the bottom or the people at the top? Well, obviously the people at the bottom, there's more of them. There's more people earning little money than there are earning big. So they decided to infiltrate the Labour, the Democrat, whatever, that sort of thing, with this stuff. So 100 years ago, Labour was all about rights for workers, better working conditions, stop employers ripping us off, stuff like that. But over time, they included all this diversity, all this other stuff into that party, which it was never wanted. It was really a working man's party. But they did that in order to make the people at the bottom, i.e. the majority, get them on side with the agenda that the people at the top had for them. Okay? It's all very smoke and mirrors, but it's quite easy to see when you just look at it. Then we've got young couple who died alongside their dogs in a house fire caused by an e-bike battery didn't have a chance of escaping inferno. Again, these things are so dangerous. But they're not going to change. They're not going to change the electric cars because that's their agenda. And I imagine for the elites, if it kills a few people on the way, well, that kind of fits in with their depopulation agenda as well, doesn't it? So there you go. And finally, how white skin evolved in Europeans. Incredible map reveals how pale complexions only became the norm 1700 years ago. Again, let's change history. We know from the Bible, I've said before, if you get a copy of the exhaustive strongest concordance, you can still get that from Amazon. It has a dictionary in there. And Adam, who was not the first man, but he was the first living soul, according to God. If you read, he breathed the breath of life into him and made him a living soul. I think it's words to that effect in Genesis chapter 2. When you look it up in the Bible dictionary, in this exhaustive strongest concordance, the definition is that Adam had ruddy face, meaning he was white. And he was around a lot longer than 1700 years ago. But again, you can see how this sort of information can be used to get people to think, well, you know, being white, this is a new thing. We need to go back to the old things, stuff like that, you know. And it kind of fits in neatly, doesn't it, with all these different tales that we're told of, you know, Kennewick Man and the original English people were black and all this sort of stuff. This is what communists do. They destroy history, they rewrite history, and communism has only been around for less than 200 years. And that was created by a man called Moses Mordecai Levy, who for some strange reason decided to change his name to Karl Marx. Okay, let's have a look and see what's going on at the mainstream media right now. This is Associated Press, top story. Israel identifies remains of child hostages, but says another body from Hamas was not their mother. And then we've got a train struck an elephant herd in Sri Lanka, killing six animals, which is very sad. I actually have been to Sri Lanka. There was an elephant sanctuary there, which was probably my highlight of the trip. And you got to see all these elephants feeding and, you know, all these different things. It was very, very sweet. Okay, let's move on to the BBC News page. See what's going on here. Scroll down to the bottom. Most read, rather. About two-thirds of the way down. Man disguised as lawyer kills gang leader in court. This sounds like the sort of thing you get from South America, doesn't it? Let's see if I was right. Dum-de-dum-de-dum. No, it was also in Sri Lanka. There you go. Police say the gunman used a revolver which was smuggled in a hollowed-out book by a female suspect who remains at large. That is the top story at the moment on the BBC. Anything else worth talking about? I'm sure I saw something earlier. I was having a look at this. Neighbours, the Australian soap opera that so many of us loved when we were at school in the late 80s, got home. It was, 5:35, I think it was on BBC, Monday to Friday. That was cancelled a few years ago. It was picked up by Amazon. Apparently it's been cancelled again. So, not something that bothers me these days. And that's really kind of... What the papers say that they're focusing on is hounded to her death and don't be fooled by Putin. Well, I still think that Putin is just playing a role, but I hope that I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about Trump playing a role. I'd love it if some people would just come in and sort out the mess that we're in. But unfortunately, when I see the people that they associate with, I'm not reassured. So, again, this could be this constant demonization, getting people used to that man bad, this man good, all this sort of stuff that they work on through the media manipulation over and over again. Let's move on to see what's going on the Daily Mail website. Top headline, now Elon Musk attacks Zelensky and says he runs a fraud machine feeding off the dead bodies of soldiers after White House revealed Trump's problem with Ukrainian president is personal. Well, I mean, this guy appearing everywhere in these stupid military fatigues when he'd never go anywhere near the front line was an insult for me from the start. I thought the guy was pathetic. Whoever decided to get him to wear that all the time, for me, it just made me laugh at the guy. And then when I heard companies in this country saying, oh, we've got to rename chicken Kiev's chicken KYIVs instead. I mean, I wonder where they got the KY from. Could it be KY jelly? They were really forcing it to us. Well, I'll tell you what it did to me. I used to get chicken Kiev's. I still do occasionally, but I've never bought chicken KYIV. Never. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to endorse their petty, petulant nonsense about, oh, he's done that, so let's change the name of the capital. Aren't we clever? It's so laughable. And, yeah, let's move on to see what's going on. Well, scroll down a little bit more. Is there any... this made me laugh. Second top headline. Exclusive. There's a lot of exclusives in the Daily Mail at the moment. Don't let big tech steal UK's creative genius. Music, TV, film and publishing bosses back major mail campaign to stop Labour letting US AI giants plunder their work for free. Well, I'm unaware of any creative genius coming out of the UK's music, TV, film and publishing in at least the last 10 years. So I really don't understand what the Daily Mail are worried about. Let's go over to RT.com. Excuse me. See what's going on over there. White House rebukes Zelensky's insults towards Trump. So they're having a little tit for tat there. And let's see what's going on. On rents.com, scroll down over there, just waiting for that to load up. Dum-de-dum-de-dum, headline news stories updated 24/7. Kash Patel confirmed by Senate as new FBI director. UK says military draft necessary over Ukraine situation. Macron says World War III not ruled out. US must have green land for national / international security, according to Trump. Moving on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. The one about UK saying military conscription necessary over Ukraine situation. Macron says World War III not ruled out is the top story on the Hal Turner website. Claim US has halted all weapons sales to Ukraine. And let's move on to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Elsis website. I think there was something here that I wanted to look at. If it's still there, I might be lucky. 60 years ago today, Malcolm X was assassinated. I should have looked up February the 21st, Wiki, as I sometimes do. That would have been a good show title, wouldn't it? But yeah, so there is a video at the top, Who Was Malcolm X by TRT World. That is 15 minutes long, so that's well worth a look if it is something that interests you. And there was something else I was going to see if it is still there. It might have found its way down the page to do with, let me see, I'm just going to scroll down and no, it's gone, so I missed out on that one. Never mind. It was about Jimi Hendrix. Early in his career, he was performing at a synagogue, apparently. Oh, here it is. Music of the day. On February the 20th, 1959, 16-year-old Jimi Hendrix made his stage debut with an unnamed band at a room in Seattle's Temple D'Hirsch Sinai Synagogue. Inspired by blues artists like Muddy Waters and B.B. King, Hendrix purchased a guitar for $5 and began teaching himself the instrument as a teenager. While he would be fired from his first gig for showing off Hendrix's innovative techniques, including tone-altering effects such as fuzz distortion and wah-wah, would soon find him droves of fans and inspire musicians around the world to follow suit. When the power of love becomes stronger than the love of power, we will have peace. Jimi Hendrix, and there's a Jimi Hendrix website, and Hey Joe, available in links underneath that. Okay, let's go to censored.news, Mike Adams' news aggregate website. And let's see if there's something going on here. Dum-de-dum, you've got at the top, obviously, yesterday's show that he did. And Russian official believes Ukraine may use nuclear dirty bomb. There's all sorts of things that, of course, Ukraine could do. Oh, here's an interesting one. Jewish Miami man randomly shoots two Israelis he hoped were Palestinians. So let's click on that. Takes us to a ZeroHedge.com article. A wacky story of an anti-Palestinian and an anti-Arab animus played out in Miami Beach on Saturday night as a Jewish American man magdumped, I don't know what that means, a pistol at two visiting Israeli nationals, telling police he attacked them because they were Palestinians. It gets nuttier. After the shooting, one of the Israeli victims reportedly posted "Death to the Arabs" on his social media account, declaring the attack was an act of anti-Semitism. Oh, there you go. Talk about mistaken identity on both sides. And let's finish off with the Before It's News top 10. Wait for that thing to load up, scroll down, and here is number 10. Went up 2 hours ago, 123 people viewing. Kim Gogwon, full situation update, Trump legalities. Number 9 went up 7 hours ago, 125 people viewing. Epstein list on the fringe. Number 8 went up 5 hours ago, 132 people viewing. WTPN situation update. Trump and Elon rock the deep state. Demon rats call for violence. Number 7 went up 2 hours ago, 134 people viewing. Byington bombshell report. Audit finds no gold in Fort Knox. US dollar claps. Deep state claps. Number 6 went up 11 hours ago, 159 people viewing. And we know Trump daily briefing Doge, a deep dark world is being exposed. Number 5 went up 5 hours ago, 175 people viewing. David Nino, prophetic Amanda Grace delivers chilling prophecies and warnings to Trump. Number 4 went up 8 hours ago, 230 people viewing. New X22 report. Trump big arrest, the Gitmo march begins, setting the stage 2025. Number 3 went up 7 hours ago, 267 people viewing. SGAnon, full drop, all hell is breaking loose in 24 hours. I think someone else was saying that was happening in 48 hours, and that was, what, 3 days ago now? Not really seeing any of this come to fruition. Number 2 went up 12 hours ago, 330 people viewing. Trump and Elon make biggest announcement yet in 2025. And number 1 went up 13 hours ago, 526 people viewing. New Steve Quayle, uncovering massive fraud and treason leads to upheaval. Well, I won't be listening to this show. It's presented, I can see, by Greg Hunter, because I have no interest in a satellite phone. And I've complained about this before, and I've gone back, and I've quite enjoyed them again, and then suddenly they're bleating about satellite phones again. Being a Christian, I believe in forgiveness. So the next show that I would listen to featuring either of these people or Doug Hagman would be entitled something like, "We're very sorry about grifting about all this satellite phone nonsense. Please forgive us." And then I will listen to a show of theirs again. But until that point, I can't trust them not to bombard my ears with bilge about what sounds like extremely overpriced phones. And based on the amount of advertising that that company does, I'd be very interested to see the sort of profits that they actually make, the actual markup that they make on each one. That being said, let's call it a show. And the show, originally recorded and broadcast on Friday, February 21st, 2025, is called The Last Will and Testament of Mark E. Smith. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day and bye for now.